Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Here on Searchlight, we are in a very interesting section of Scripture in 1 Samuel. These are the stories, the historical accounts of the first kings of Israel, Saul and David. There are many practical lessons for us in these stories. They help us to see Jesus and tell us how to walk in victory with Jesus. Today we are beginning a verse-by-verse study in chapter 18. With our study, here now is Pastor John.
1 Samuel chapter 18. If you're not there, turn there please at this time. 1 Samuel chapter 18. On Sunday, we dealt with the story of David and Goliath. We entitled that message, The Real Deal, because the real deal of the story is not simply to be one of inspiration for you or inspiration for me, showing us how to, in faith and by faith, overcome the giants and have victory over the enemy. That's truly part of the story, but I believe the real deal is that it is an illustration of what Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the greater David, did for us when he singularly, single-handedly destroyed the enemy, not Goliath, but the devil, who looms large and sought to dominate you and to dictate over me. But Jesus came to the earth, and he overcame the enemy. And if you were here Sunday for that rather lengthy study, we went through the chapter and pointed out, nine or so parallels, how the story of David and Goliath portrays and pictures Jesus Christ and his victory over the enemy, and how now we enjoy the victory that Jesus won. Just like they in the story, the people of Israel, the army of Israel, they just enjoyed the victory that David won single-handedly. So if you weren't here and you're interested in that, you might want to pick up the tape, because I think it's an important study where we get to see Jesus Christ, our victor. We see that we don't fight for victory in the Christian walk, we fight from victory. Now, we left off. David there, standing before King Saul, with Goliath's head in his hand. Goliath, who was defeated and decapitated by David. Now, David is brought before Saul, and he's still hanging on to Goliath's skull, Goliath's head, probably by the hair. Big head, huge head, veins, you know, just kind of hanging out, and tongue rolled up, and eyes rolled back, and a big black spot where the rock went into his forehead and all the rest. Wow. Here he is, holding this skull. And Saul says, "Who are you?" And David says in verse 58 of chapter 17, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse." I'm Jesse's boy. I'm Jesse's son. I'm the Bethlehemite. And it came to pass, verse 1 of chapter 18, when David made an end of speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved David as his own soul. And Saul took David that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. David was the number one draft pick for Saul's team. Saul said, "You're going to be with me from here on out." Saul knew greatness when he saw it, you see. And he took David that day and would not let him go back to his father's house from then on. "You're with me," Saul would say. So Jonathan, verse 3, and David made a covenant. Literally in the Hebrew, they cut covenant. The idea there is when people in Old Testament days were making an agreement, if they were serious about it, they would cut covenant. That is, they would take the bull or the heifer, some animal, split them in two, and the two parties that would make the agreement would walk in the middle of that bull, that heifer, that animal that was cut in two, and they would pronounce their agreements one to another. The idea is this: we are serious about this. We are deadly serious as we stand between the two halves of this carcass. And if one of us fails to keep our end of the bargain, he's dead meat. That's the idea. We're deadly serious about this. This isn't just a lightweight deal. And here Jonathan and David are cutting covenant. They're making a real commitment one to the other. It's a serious thing that's happening. Jonathan and David made a covenant, or literally cut covenant, because Jonathan loved David as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the royal robe that he was wearing. For you see, Jonathan was the son of Saul. He was Prince Jonathan. He was heir to the throne. He was next in line. He was to be the next king, you see. But he takes this royal garment off and he gives it to David. And his garments, the outer clothes, not only the royal robe, but also the outer clothes, he would also hand over to David that day. Even his sword and his bow, the weapons that were strapped to Jonathan, he handed over to David as well. And to his girdle, which means his belt, upon which weapons and items of utility would hang, that too went to David that day. It all goes to David. Interesting, we see here Jonathan doing something which ought to happen in my life and ought to happen in yours too. When a person really realizes what the son of David, the greater than David, did for them, like Jonathan in our story realizes what David did for him and the whole nation in defeating Goliath, in destroying the enemy. Jonathan looked at David and he could have been jealous of David, in competition with David, anxious about David. Oh no, this guy. Hey, he's won a great victory, and now people are going to be looking to him. Instead of to me, Jonathan could have said, I'm the guy that is next in line to be king, and my dad, Saul, his days are numbered. Samuel already said that. Dad's days are numbered to be on the throne. I'm next in line, and now David comes on the scene. Oh no, but that's not what Jonathan does. Jonathan realizes that, David, you the man. You're it. I mean, I might be Prince Jonathan, but you're to be King David. This robe that I wear, it's yours. The regality. The clothes that cover me, it's yours. I'm before you in humility. The sword and the bow and the weaponry, it's yours. It's just now I'm vulnerable. There's a vulnerability. I don't have weapons anymore. I don't have the covering of clothes, outer garments. I don't have the royal robe. It's all yours. It says here that Jonathan stripped himself, verse 4. He gave away his regality. He gave away his humility. He made himself completely vulnerable. He became just open before David. He dethroned himself. That's what's happening here. Jonathan dethrones himself. He gets off the throne. He was Prince Jonathan. This was a radical thing that he was doing. He stepped down at this time, if you would. Symbolically, emblematically, he is stepping away from his calling of being on the throne, of being King Jonathan someday. He's saying, that's no longer where it's at. That's no longer in play. Now, Saul, as we're going to see in a moment, has just the opposite reaction. He's determined to stay on the throne, to be in control. And it's going to cause Saul all kinds of problems. And Saul goes down in infamy, whereas Jonathan is exalted eternally. The issue is simple. When you talk to people at work, when you talk to people on the campus, when you share with folks in the neighborhood, the issue is always the same. It is not, well, where did Cain get his wife? Or did Adam really have a belly button? Or can God make a rock so big he can't lift it? You know, all the questions that people raise, all the issues that are brought up, it's really none of those things. The issue is always singular when you're talking to people. And that is, are you willing to get off the throne? Are you willing to step off of the platform? Are you willing to give control to the God who loves you so much that he became a shepherd boy, if you would? He became the good shepherd who gave his life for you. And in so doing, he beat the enemy, the devil that would doom you and damn you and send you to hell eternally, who's determined to destroy and defile and devour. But Jesus came, the son of David, the greater than David, and he won the victory. Now will you just get off the throne and let him have control of your life? That's always the issue. The fundamental issue in the discussion of evolution is this. Hey, if my goodness, if there is a creator, then I am responsible to the one who created me. I don't like that. I want to be a party animal, so I'll determine that I came from the animals. I want to be a slime ball, so I'll say that I came from slime, you see. It's always the issue, who's going to be on the throne? That's always the issue. Now, not just when you become a Christian, but for us who know the Lord and walk with the Lord and believe in the Lord, it's a daily issue for you. It's a daily issue for me. Who's going to be on the throne? Am I going to say, Lord, my abilities, my sword and my bow, I lay it at your feet. My position, the royal robes that I wear, I put it in your hands. And I give up even my appearance, the outer garments. And I just, Lord, I back off, I lay down, I turn away from that stuff today, Lord. How does that happen? I think the key thing for most of us that we're discovering is really to bare your soul, to strip your soul like Jonathan stripped here. To strip our souls at the table of the Lord, at communion, where I remember, Lord, this is the victory that you won for me. This is what you did for me, Lord. You defeated the enemy. You were broken. You bled. You gave it all for me. And now, Lord, as I bow my knee, as I hold your body, as I take this cup, Lord, I bear my soul. I get off the throne again because I keep climbing back up. But Lord, here I am to say today once more, Lord, have your way. I remember what you did. You won the war. And I realize who I am. I'm a sinner, and I need to give it all to you again. I say that to remind you that we have this opportunity day by day to come before the Lord in your devotional time at home, in that quiet spot where you bow your own knee and talk to the Lord, or here in the days, in the day, many times, morning, noon, and evening, you see, to come to the Lord's table. Do this in remembrance of me. What do? We cut covenant. Take, drink. This is the blood of the new covenant, Jesus said. This is the blood. I'm deadly serious about this, Jesus would say. I'm deadly serious in my love for you, my care about you. I split my own body as I was nailed to the tree, as the sword, the spear was thrust through me. I cut covenant, John. Will you meet me in the broken body? Will you meet me with the cup of salvation in your hand? Will you realize, John, how much I care for you and what I did in place of you? Would you get off the throne again? Yes, Lord. For me personally, the best way to do this with our King, to dethrone ourselves and exalt him again, is to go to the table where covenant is cut, where the body is broken, and say once more, I remember the victory that you won. And I realize what a sinner that I am. Now, Lord, with bent knee and thankful heart, I once again enthrone you as the King of my life and cut covenant. Take, drink. This is the blood of the new covenant, Jesus said. The covenant that Jonathan cut with David can be experienced by you, by me again, tonight, tomorrow, whenever. But Jonathan realized, I need to get off the throne. This is the one that needs to be in charge. And he did just that. Great story, great illustration, great example for me. And David went out, verse 5, whithersoever Saul sent him, he behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So now David is in the court, and he's doing what Saul commands. Very interesting. It says he went wherever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. He didn't say, Saul, you don't have a right to tell me what to do. You were the guy that chickened out when Goliath was stomping up and down the valley of Elah. Where were you? I was out there, Saul. How dare you tell me where to go, or how dare you tell me what to do? But David didn't do that. This man after God's own heart, David, he behaved himself wisely. He went wherever Saul sent him. He didn't say, Saul, you have no authority over me. Saul, I'm the anointed one now. Samuel came and poured a whole horn of oil on me. You just got a little vial. I got a big anointing. You got a small anointing. I'm really blessed. You're just, hey, that's not what David did. He realized that God had a perfect plan that was unfolding. And he just trusted in that sovereign ability of God to work things out at the right time. And he just said, okay, wherever you want me to go, Saul, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. He behaved himself wisely. And the people noticed this. He was accepted in the sight of the people. And also in the sight of Saul's servants, they recognized and realized, here is a man of humility. Here is a man of fidelity. He's humble. He's faithful. He's with the people. And it came to pass as they came, verse 6, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy and instruments of music. And the women sang one to another, sang back and forth to each other. And they said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Uh-oh, watch out. Saul hears that first verse of those songs that were being sung. Yeah, I've killed my thousands. But then when verse 2 came, it would enrage him. He was very wroth. Verse 8 says that means he was really ticked. I mean, whoa, what's this? The thing displeased him greatly. He said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what more can he have than the kingdom? My goodness. They're singing songs about him. Pretty soon he's going to take over the kingdom. Saul. See, whereas Jonathan dethroned himself, Saul is determined to defend his turf. And Saul is going to be a miserable monarch. He's going to be despairing and depressed and demonized to an even greater degree. But the women, interesting to me, were the ones that sang this song. Saul has slain his thousands, because Saul was a warrior of note. But David's slain 10,000s. The women. Can always be a problem. Remember what happened way back in the book of Exodus chapter 15 when the Red Sea parted and God miraculously parted the sea and Pharaoh's army was then devoured as the sea collapsed in on them? When they got to the other side, the women, led by Miriam, grabbed the tambourine and she led the women in a song. She sang, the Lord has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider of Pharaoh's army, he has thrown into the sea. The song wasn't about Moses. Look what Moses did. Why, he held up his staff and the waters parted. And he stood there with the wind blowing through his white hair and long beard, you know, and all of that. Wow. They should make a movie about him. In the Exodus story, which was a greater victory by far than what we're talking about in these days of Saul and David, you see, the women sang praises to the Lord.
Interesting and important distinction, and it should make us wonder who is getting glory for the things in our life. Do we get the glory, or does God? Jesus said that we should let our light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Pastor John will continue our study in 1 Samuel 18 on our next program. Please join us again then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
Pastor John has often encouraged us to spend time each day contemplating the Word of God. One great way to do this is with a daily devotional. Pastor John has put together 3 daily devotionals that cover the entire Bible. A Pillar by Day and A Day of Feasting are taken from the Old Testament. A Day's Journey is a devotional from the New Testament. Each daily devotional has 365 short meditations and are presented in John's insightful and practical style. You may order each daily devotional from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.